Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Impulga. This evening, we'll talk about the changing political landscape in Ethiopia. And with us tonight is Mohamed Ademo, co-founder and editor at Opry.com. Welcome to the show, Mohamed.
Good to be back, Douglas. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. We also have regular panelist, Suleiman Mugula, who joins us from Durban, South Africa. He's an independent political analyst. Suleiman, welcome to the show once again.
Thank you very much for inviting me. Good evening to the listeners.
You're welcome. Gentlemen, as I said, our topic tonight, we're talking about the changing political landscape in Ethiopia. Ethiopia's new prime minister has announced a lot of reforms to reshape the country. Just last week alone, he shook up the security forces, ended a nationwide state of emergency, and announced plans to liberalize the economy and resolve a two-decade-old conflict with Eritrea. Of course, these moves represent a dramatic shift in the power balance in that country. Let me start with Mohamed. First of all, a general assessment at the speed of the reforms being brought forward by the new prime minister.
I think the average Ethiopian will tell you that they are surprised, caught off guard, and hopeful, and even worried, but because the speed is nothing like we have seen before. But, you know, worried in a good way, only because if you shake things up too soon, too fast, there are still entrenched interest groups who very much are not happy with the direction that things are headed. They might want to try to undermine him. But otherwise, I think things are looking up for Ethiopia in ways that we have not seen for the last 28 years or so. The only question is how far is he willing to go, whether or not this momentum can be sustained and translated into more lasting legislative or policy changes.
I see. Suleiman, as people may know, Ethiopia is Africa's second most populous country, and what happens there actually could have an impact on the rest of the continent. But briefly, your comment at the reforms he's trying to bring about, not only in his country, even on the foreign policy aspect. He's been to Uganda recently visiting, and he's sent out signals to Egypt that everything will be fine. Your general comment on the reforms?
Generally, on the reform, I think it is a welcome move, and it is understandable. It is understandable in the sense that he's an insider. He knows how much the system has decayed. He knows the insides of the system. Therefore, to him, it isn't so difficult because he knows where to touch. You see the way he started with the defense, with the security system. He knows that these institutions can be changed and life can be made for the people of Ethiopia. He is not a visitor. He's not a new man on the scene. He knows what has been going on. That is why he's moving fast, because he knows change is necessary. Change was needed. Change was fought for by the people of Ethiopia. And the expectations of the young people of Ethiopia and the people of Ethiopia are so high. So he has to land. He has to hit the ground running. That is why he's making the expectation. So I don't think what he's doing is wrong. It might be worrying because they are fast, but it's necessary because he knows what is going on. As far as the foreign relation is concerned, I think he's making the reasonable, good moves, expected moves, because I think we have to know that this decayed leadership on the continent is making things look as if they cannot work. Like the way you are saying, it was as if Ethiopia was expected to go to war with Egypt, with Sudan, which is unnecessary. He's making things look workable. I think we have to credit him for that.
I see. Mohamed, Suleiman there refers to the Mr. Ahmed as an insider. To your knowledge, how deep is his support within the ruling Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front? Because they will be crucial in implementing these reforms.
Absolutely. I think he has, as evidenced by his election, he certainly carried 60% of the vote, or something like 62% of the vote. So he certainly have the support of the Oromo coalition and the Amhara coalition members. He has support from the southern part of the country. We are not too clear how much support he has from the TPLF, the Tigrayan People Liberation Front. There have been some discontents and murmurs and complaints coming from that corner. And we also know that they fought vigorously against his election, and he was accused of being a power monger. He was accused of being a populist. So those cleavages remain, because we are also hearing that his latest decision to abide by the international ruling along the border between Eritrea and Ethiopia, which gave back the flashpoint town of Badume to Eritrea, over which the two countries fought a senseless war. We are hearing that the TPLF is not united on that particular issue, and they might actually try to stop him. So I think the most important thing here is, outside of the 36 members of the EPRDF Executive Committee, Abiy Ahmed, the prime minister, now has an overwhelming public support in a ways that we have not seen before. And I don't think any other Ethiopian leader in recent memory had this sort of broad-based popular support from the people of Ethiopia, who, as Suleiman rightly said, campaigned and died and fought for this moment to come. They are cheering him on. He understands that the public is hungry for change. He is absolutely correct to say that the only way out of the current crisis, we are still in the midst of a crisis. He's just trying to steer the ship out of very rocky waters. The economy is in bad shape. He had made clear that democratic process and opening up the political environment and allowing the media and the repealing some of these draconian laws is the only way out for the country. And people understand that, and they are supporting him. And I think that will serve him very well, even if the establishment and the TPLF in this case try to challenge or undermine him. I think they will have a hard time selling their version of events to the people of Ethiopia, because he has cemented his support in a way that we have not seen before.
I see. Suleiman, in most of these cases where leadership has been in power for a very long time, like it has happened in Ethiopia, despite the good intentions of Mr. Abiy Ahmed, there are structures, institutions that have over a period of time gotten to sort of, some would call it rot, like the police, like the judiciary. These are the institutions that keep the country together. Do you think he will be able to change their mindset, sort of, as Mohammed says there, the economy was not doing well, the media, the repression, some laws that were anti-people. How will he handle the institutions themselves? Because it's important to have the institutions along with him.
You see, the bottom line is, with 100 million people, Ethiopia is coming next to Nigeria. In terms, there is no reason why Ethiopia should lag behind. It has got well-educated people. It has got very hard-working and industrious people. So why should it remain backward? The changes are overdue. People in Ethiopia expect change. And he has already started to reform. the institutions. He has already made changes. He has already retired some top government officials who have been there for many years. He's renewing the whole administrative system, and he's renewing the security system, and so far so good, he has got the will of the people. So long as he has got the will of the people, and is he transparent in whatever he's doing, I don't think he will get problems. Because so far so good, the changes which he has made in the leadership, in the security system, he has changed the police chief, he has changed the defense chief, he has changed the ministers of defense, he has shown his determination that he has to have changes within the administrative structure of the country so as to be able to get the reform and the development agenda which is aiming at. And so long as he is doing it so far so good without any, so long as we have got new leadership, I think the people of Ethiopia will give him chance because they see where he's going. He's being transparent. So long as he's transparent and he's doing it for the good of the country, I think they will change with the time.
I see. Mohamed, the one key thing that most people are talking about is the announcement that key state-run industries like Ethiopian Airlines, Ethio Telecom, of course the country's only internet and telephone provider, would be opened up to foreign and private investors. This touches on the economy and the livelihoods of people. How impactful would that be? That change be, you think?
I think the government was forced to make this concession because those sectors have for long been considered "quote unquote" cash cow for the state, meaning that they provided the biggest chunk of the revenue for the state affairs. So I think what we have now is they are facing an extreme foreign currency crunch, and they have a shortage of foreign dollars, and that need is immediate. And the economy is struggling. The projects are not getting off the ground. They hope that by privatizing and giving priority to foreign investors who might bring in much-needed foreign currency can help stimulate the economy. And again, keep in mind that the overwhelming majority of the protesters who demanded change and forced the ruling party to put Abiy Ahmed forward are young. And most of them also just happen to be unemployed. If the economy is struggling and companies are struggling to access foreign currency to invest, to import goods and to import raw materials, there is not much activity in the economy, meaning that they cannot hire some of these young people. The state cannot create jobs for all of them. So I think the effort here is twofold. One is to attract foreign currency and sort of relieve that. And the other is to create, help stimulate the economy to create jobs. And also, they are struggling to borrow money because there is such a huge debt burden that they have to deal with. And the IMF and others are warning them about the risk of continuing to accumulate this foreign debt. So, again, the economy is in really bad shape, despite the fact that it has registered a stellar growth over the last decade. And this was needed to release that pressure so that they can actually focus on political reform. And one thing I want to make absolutely clear is I think what Abiy is doing is very much needed and is the only thing that could have pulled Ethiopia back from the brink of war. But it's still, this is not an elected government, and Ethiopia is due for election in 2 years, and much work needs to be done between now and 2020 to ensure that we can have a transparent, free, and competitive election. And I think for that to happen, as Suleiman pointed out, the important, the independence and the strength of an institution, the election board, from the election board to the media, to other democratic institutions, including the judiciary, the independence, impartiality of the police. All these things are needed, and all the actions that he has taken so far suggest that he's mindful of this the importance of these changes, and he's acting accordingly. So I think once they overcome this economic hurdle, I think Ethiopia is ready to turn a page for decades to come.
I see. Well, for those just joining us, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from VOA Studios here in Washington. Tonight, we're talking about the changing political landscape in Ethiopia. Our panelists are Mohamed Ademo, co-founder and editor at opera.com, and Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio One. Now, Suleiman, Mohamed there mentioned the issue of economy and jobs and how those are very crucial to move the country forward. Briefly, in comparative terms, there have been changes in Ethiopia, in Zimbabwe, in Angola. How would you rate the three countries, for instance?
Yes, it is good to look at the changes in Ethiopia together with the other changes on the continent. At least we are not going to... We can call them the new breed also, because we are having a new dispensation around the continent. We have got a change in Gambia. We have also got a change in Zimbabwe. We had a change in Angola for the time being. Those three, as far as Gambia is concerned, I think they are moving well. So far, so good. I think the new president is doing well. He has had overtures internationally, and he has got the local goodwill, and he's doing, I think, a good job. He's strict on corruption. They're investigating slowly but surely. I think they'll be able to recover most of the funds taken by Yahya Jammeh and the damage which he has done. As far as Zimbabwe is concerned, he's also trying to make some changes, though compared to Ethiopia, I think Zimbabwe is not honest enough. He's talking of elections so fast, and he has not made a transformation within the institutions. There has not been changes in the security system, in the freedom of expression. It is just more rhetoric than practical changes as far as Zimbabwe is concerned. I think Ethiopia is having more fundamental practical changes than Zimbabwe. Zimbabwe, the changes are more rhetoric. The system is still intact. The Electoral Commission is not yet reformed. The security institution is not reformed. The media crackdown, you can't see genuine moves, practical genuine moves towards freeing the people of Zimbabwe. So I think Zimbabwe, compared to Ethiopia is still doing very well. Angola, changes are taking place also. They are slow but steady, and I think they are also going to get a good rewards from what the new president is doing. Though compared, I think I'm giving Ethiopia a better tick. I think the doctor in Ethiopia is doing a good job. Yes, we know there are a lot. He's mindful of the fact that the 2005 issue is unfinished business. He has been able to gather people. For example, he had a sort of a national conference. He called all opinion leaders from all over the country. I don't know how the meeting went, but that one alone, the attempt to have a national dialogue to give the people of Ethiopia the chance to air out their views. I think many of the things, so long as he's transparent enough, all the roadblocks which are ahead of him, he'll be able to jump them, so long as it's transparent enough.
I see. Mohamed, do you agree with Suleiman? And secondly, how much of these reforms are a factor into an eye to the coming elections when they eventually come?
No, I agree with Suleiman. I think one of the problems this organization, the Ethiopian People's Revolutionary Democratic Front, of which Abiy is a chairman, It's very much still a communist organization. You know, it has this Marxist communist tradition, and it is known for its secrecy, and they have not always been very transparent and open with the people of Ethiopia. And I think he's changing that. He's communicating with people. He's holding town halls. His PR operation is much more engaged. You see him issuing statements now on regional holidays and national holidays and things like that in ways that we have not seen before. So these things are small. They might seem small for other countries and other people listening. But in Ethiopia, we have not had these things, and those are very important things. So I think if it remains transparent and continues to clearly speak to the people and explain to the people what he's doing and why he is doing and the challenge that they still face, I think he will succeed greatly. To your question about how much of the reforms are with an eye toward elections, I think everything he has done so far to me suggests that he is keen to open up the political environment. You go back to January when these efforts were set in motion. They said they will release all political prisoners because they wanted to widen the political space. And some people were released, and the extent of how many people were left and how much more they will do was not clear. But once he came in, he actually released some of the more contentious prisoners, including some who were accused of staging a coup against his government. And he invited the leader of Gimbo 7 to the National Palace and had a conversation with him. And they have so far, I think, cumulatively released some 50,000 prisoners in the past 3 months alone. So all of that to me suggests that they are serious about allowing a robust competition in the next election. He had a conversation with the opposition leaders from different organizations in his office. There are discussions that his party or his representatives are due to meet with opposition leaders to talk about the repeal of the anti-terrorism law, which was used to put some of these people in jail and to stifle dissent and to push journalists into exile. And he's reforming the security sector and saying that we needed to make it national, not a party, a military that is accountable to one party, but a military and an intelligence that is accountable to the Constitution. Those things are very important. And we have not seen, unfortunately, much movement on the election board, on the electoral board. But at the rhetoric level, it seems like he's keen to sort of get rid of the challenges, the hurdles, before talking about reforming the electoral board and sitting down with the opposition and setting the key parameters of the election. It seems as though he's clearing his own house, first and foremost, letting go of hardliners and party veterans who were just doorkeepers who were really, in a way, hindering progress for the last several years. So it seems like he's clearing those hurdles before sitting down for the more substantive talks with the opposition on how to conduct this election. But his challenge, of course, is in a country as big as Ethiopia, 2 years is not enough to reform the institution from top to bottom and hold elections. He would need to move fast on that front. But nonetheless, I think everything that he's done seems to be with an eye toward democratization. And the true test of that effort, whether or not Wahabi says is actually real and whether or not Ethiopia is ready for a truly democratic, free, and fair election, is just 2 years away. And I think he's on the right track to ensure that the system is ready when we do come around. Because if the opposition wins and the military refuses to take orders, that doesn't bode ill for the country. If the intelligence doesn't work with the opposition, that doesn't bode well for the country. So I think it's important to ensure that these institutions, which carry such an enormous weight, are accountable to the constitution of the country, not to one party. Good for him to come out and say that. I think that was very well received by the majority of Ethiopian people.
I see. As we wind up, we're running out of time. Suleiman, but also add on his determination to solve the two-decade-old conflict with Eritrea. What it means and what it could even mean on Eritrea itself, which is a closed society and dictatorial.
I think so far so good. I don't think many Ethiopians would be worried. I think it was a useless, a senseless conflict. Any understanding person would seek to solve it the way he's solving it. Before I even go that one, I wanted to express only one concern.
Briefly.
In all the good things he has done, is to touch base with the Ugandan president. I think that is the biggest concern, because the president of Uganda has been in power for 32 years. During his time, as we know, of late, he interfered in Sudan, and today they are having a lot of bloodshed in Sudan. He has been in DRC, there is bloodshed. He interfered in Rwanda, there was genocide. He has been all around. I wish the Prime Minister had not gone even to Uganda to get anything, because I don't think there is anything good he can get from the Ugandan president. I wish he had left the Ugandan leader alone on his own, sort out, because he's part of the rotten group on the continent. This is a new breed. This is like Sankara, this is like Murtala Mohammed. So we wouldn't like him to get involved in the decayed politics of Uganda and the continent, as seen by the Museveni group and others.
I say, Mohammed, 5 seconds. As we end up, what do you see coming the next, whatever, short term?
I think he needs to move fast and start talking about elections. And the first part of that would be reconstituting the election board, making it professional and independent, and of course transparent. That is very important. And the next important thing is he needs to sit down with the opposition and talk openly and honestly about preparing for the election and letting the will of the Ethiopian people take decide the future of the country and put the more thorny issues to referendum if necessary. But he needs to sit down with the opposition and start talking about election.
Okay, to both of you, just a short answer. How serious is the challenge of the negative forces, those who want the status quo to remain? Beginning with you, Mohammed.
Can you repeat the question? I'm sorry.
I'm saying that the impact of the negative forces, those who wanted status quo to remain, how is going to solve that? I mean, how serious is that? Or shouldn't worry about it?
I think the threat is there, but I don't think it is serious. The most important thing, serious thing they can do is continue to inflame ethnic tensions and make different groups fight each other along the border. We are already seeing that between the Oromia and Somali region. We might see some of that, and they might continue to use their clients within the system to sort of wreak havoc along the border and not give him space to actually carry out the reforms necessary. But their influence is waning, and they are going to lose.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time, and that wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, Mohammed Ademo, co-founder and editor at opred.com, and Suleiman Mugulan, independent political analyst. Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Thank you so much, Douglas.
You're welcome. And again, thank you for joining us tonight. Until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, wishing you all the best.
Stay tuned for Africa News Tonight.